Welcome today to the August 3rd edition of the Security Week in Review, brought to you by Storefront Backtalk and The Hack Report. I'm Evan Schumann, editor of StorefrontBackTalk.com. We've got some fairly interesting security issues this week, some PCI issues, some Certigy updates, and the latest on TJX weathering the storm. But more importantly than that, we have got a pair of extraordinarily intrepid security observers with us today. We have, from Gartner, Aviva Leitin, and we have got the newest member of the PCI Security Council, Chris Hines, from Motorola. And I want to welcome you both today. TJX, yes, TJX, one of the favorite security topics these days in retail segments, has been the punching bag for a lot of security concerns, not entirely without reason. One of the arguments has been that TJX, the extent to which TJX suffers or feels pain as a result of this situation is going to influence many, many other large retailers who are going to look to them and think, well, worst case scenario, let's see what happens to TJX. If they fare fairly well, that will make it easier for us to not pay attention to security as much as we should. TJX this week has, for months now, has had very, very little financial impact in terms of consumers abandoning the stores. They've had some rough spots, but they were not tied in to security concerns per se. This week, we had a new hint. We had Credit Suisse boosting their price target for TJX, which is a very, very good sign of confidence that their financial activity is going to remain strong. So let me throw it over to both of you. How much is TJX going to be seen as having paid pain to the extent of other retailers being willing to spend money to avoid their fate? Aviva?
I can tell you that I got lots of phone calls from retailers after the TJX breach that were concerned they were going to be the next one. And this mainly came from CEOs calling up their CIOs, you know, or their risks officers and saying, keep us out of the headlines. So it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. And you're absolutely right. When those CEOs look at the TJX financials, I'm sure they're going to calm down, like, okay, this stuff doesn't hurt us. On the other hand, I don't think it's over for TJX. Certainly, their business model is strong. Consumers don't really know about this. I don't think consumers think it was TJX's problem. I think they think it's the bank's problem. I'll know better in a couple months when I get some survey data back, but that's just my reaction to it. So it certainly may not have hurt their sales. It looks like it didn't at all. Their sales went up. But on the other hand, they have had well over $10 million in costs. I mean, last time I looked, it was over $11 million, and I think it was mounting. So no executive wants to bear $15, $25 million in fines and lawsuits, and I don't think that the saga's over yet. So again, it's a balancing act. Certainly the pain's not as large as it could have been. TJX didn't fall apart. Their stock didn't crash. Consumers didn't stay out of the stores. But it certainly is money that they're going to have to put out for fines and lawsuits that they'd rather not put out. So I think it mitigated the reaction and the extreme fear of becoming the next TJX, but I don't think it eliminated it.
Well, there was one other thought that TJX itself got some protection or has some protection that many other large retailers do not have, which is that many of their stores do not use the TJX name. So assuming that consumers saw the headlines, and the headlines in the consumer press were not nearly as prevalent as they were in the trade press. Mm-hmm. But even to the extent that they knew that TJX was bad, and I'm not going to go to TJX, a healthy percentage of those consumers wouldn't have hesitated to go to Marshalls or Home Goods or any other TJX name that didn't store, that didn't have their name on it. That's a protection that Walmart and Circuit City and others simply don't have. Their stores are all operating under the corporate name. So to the extent that that blunted the pain, that may not or that would not protect other retailers.
Yeah, that's a great point. I still think consumers blame their banks, though, even if they heard about TJX, because all When consumers get hurt, it's when the bank contacts them and says, your account may have been compromised, or they look at their statement and see an erroneous charge. They don't sit there and think, where'd I go shopping in the last year? They sit there and think, I better get a new card. The bank better give it to me. And banks do tell me that they're always asked, how did this happen? Where did it happen? Which is one reason they want to know about breaches right away. But I think what you say about the brand recognition is absolutely true. Who knows what TJX is? It sounds a little like TJ Maxx, but it certainly doesn't sound like Marshall's. But the main contact for a consumer is their credit card or debit card statement, and that's their relationship with their banks.
Chris, what do you think? How bad is the TJX perception situation?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on here. One thing I'd point out is I'd echo Aviva's statement that we haven't seen everything that's going to happen to them yet. There's still some lawsuits. It's unclear who's going to absorb the cost of all the reissued cards. But, you know, one of the things you benefit from is, realistically, the general public has short-term memory. So there may have been a brief period there where people were avoiding TGX stores, and then they just kind of forget about it. It's always difficult for us to look back in time and know what would have happened had this not occurred. You know, would TGX be in an even better financial situation now? Would they be about where they were now? It's always difficult to say, but I think one of the biggest things is the consumers just, they have a short attention span. It was big news, so maybe for a week or two, someone who regularly went to TJ Maxx didn't go there because they recognized TJX, TJ Maxx, oh, I'm not going to go there. They have, and then about a month or so later, they've kind of forgotten why it was they were avoiding them, and there's a nice sale, and so they head off. So I think they've benefited a lot from people's short-term memory in that respect.
You know, and I also want to add a point. I did a survey a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's still true, but I asked consumers, what do you value more, cost, convenience, or security? So when you're shopping, what's the most important factor? And cost always won out over security. So if you're going to get a good discount, you know, that's the most important thing to you.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've got some rather strong opinions about consumer surveys, and I find them interesting but for the most part worthless because consumers don't often say the truth. I'm not suggesting they're lying. I'm saying they don't perceive it. If you think about like a child, a young child, when asked what do they value, will mention a lot of things, fun, entertainment, and all kinds of things, but they will never mention security, even though their parents keeping them safe is extremely important. It's a given. They're assuming that, and that's not what they're referencing. The same with consumers. Consumers assume that you're going to protect my data, you're going to protect me. They're not going to mention security as a priority because it's so ingrained. They're just assuming it's there. I don't know. I think it is important to them. I just don't think they're going to mention it in a survey.
Yeah, I totally agree. You have to take surveys with a grain of salt. But it's the same thing in the reality. Consumers know that they're basically protected with their credit cards. It's just a hassle factor. So who cares if my card gets stolen if I get $100 off that dress? You know, I'm willing to take that risk. Personally, I think many consumers have that attitude because they do know they're protected. They're not as dumb as we think they are. So they know they're always going to get their money back if they charge it to a credit card.
The unintended consequence of the zero liability plans, the unintended consequence being it actually undermines retail security, which was never what the credit cards intended.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Aviva, that a lot of people feel like it's not their problem. They're not going to have to pay for that. So, you know, even if I go shop at, you know, Shifty's fly-by-night store, It's not my problem because if my credit card gets stolen and thousands of dollars of charges show up, I just call up, you know, the credit card company and say, hey, I didn't do this, you know, take it off my account, and they're done. And they don't perceive that they pay any cost for that. And when you don't perceive that you're paying a cost for something like security in this example, then you don't value it at all.
Right.
Hey, don't crack wise on Shifty's. They give great watches. Any last thoughts before we wrap this up on any of the security topics today?
You know, my closing thought is I just go back to the fact that I'd like to see the banking industry do more to strengthen card security. These systems were put in place back in the 80s when cyber criminals didn't exist. We don't need to go as far as Europe and the rest of the world with chip and PIN because, you know, we have more sophisticated networks and technology, and I think we can kind of leapfrog what's been done with chip and PIN and not spend as much on the infrastructure. But I do think that it's time to go back and rethink the card itself and the payment schemes and not expect 6 million merchants in the United States to become highly secure entities. I just think it's impractical.
Chris, any last thoughts?
I'm going to echo some of what Aviva said. I think right now you're seeing a lot of push to just make it the retailer's problem. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. I do think going forward, when we really look at true cardholder security for their information, it needs to be an overarching plan. It takes into account everything from the card issuers, the banks, as well as the retailers themselves. So you really have everybody sharing the burden and making sure that you're not turning to retailers and saying you have to invest a ton of money to upgrade a bunch of stuff because no one else is going to budge.